Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
All right, we're back here on The Breakfast Huddle on Money FM 89.3, 8:38 in the morning. Ryan, what is in your radar today?
All right, it's all about record highs last night on Wall Street, reacting to the, relief that President Donald Trump has finally signed off on the stimulus bill. So no government shutdown, and you also have the 14 million Americans unemployed now getting that $600 check. So it is a bit of a relief because to some extent, people were just wondering what's going to happen next. Well, will Donald Trump sign it? Will he start to throw tantrums in his last weeks in office? And of course, he still has some weeks to go before he hands over the reins to Joe Biden. So you still have the potential for a lot of surprises.
I think the surprise would be he would gracefully just, you know, leave the White House the day he's supposed to do. You never know with Mr. President Donald Trump.
You never know.
Full of surprises.
Well, let's check in with Vasu Menon to find out what he thinks. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How are you doing?
Very good morning, Ryan. I'm well, thank you.
Hey, Vasu, let's check in with you on the pulse of the markets first. So getting a boost from this signing of the stimulus package, so it looks like there's enough for now to keep the momentum going.
It seems that way. I mean, it's a relief to the markets. And what has happened, I think more recently, is the House has decided to increase the paycheck from $600 to $2,000. It's passed the House and is now in the courts of the Senate, and the Senate has to decide whether it's going to up the the payouts to individuals from 600 to 2,000. If it does, that increases the stimulus package from 900 billion, adds on another close to 500 billion, and if that goes through, I think that's going to be even better news for the markets. So yes, the stimulus, the fact that Trump has signed off on the stimulus package is a major source of relief, but doesn't mean that the course ahead is going to be clear. There are still roadblocks, bumps along the road, and investors have to be ready for a bit of volatility in the coming weeks.
Yeah, so you could be in for some speed bumps in the road ahead. And one of the interesting sectors that has been in the headlines these days is the Chinese tech sector. Now, Jack Ma not getting a break. He is seeing week after week of bad news. First, his IPO was derailed, and then the Chinese regulators are clamping down on his business, saying the Ant Group should stop lending money. And I'm just paraphrasing here that they need to go back to square one. So you are looking at quite a bit of regulatory pressure on the Chinese tech sector. What's your take on how things will pan out? Is this a, sector to reduce exposure on it for now?
Well, the sector is facing a lot of headwinds. You'll see a lot of nervousness, volatility, maybe even more downside, at least in the short term. But the focus has really been on Alibaba. And you can see that in the share price. Alibaba share price is down 30% from its recent peak. If you compare that with Tencent, it's a lesser 17%. And JD.com, even less, I think about 11 to 12%. So the focus has been Alibaba. The question that is remains unclear, what remains unclear is whether this scrutiny of Alibaba will spread to the rest of the consumer internet space in China in a big way, and also the degree of regulatory enforcement. Will the regulators take it all the way? After all, many of these companies, are an important part of the economy, and I think it's really about balancing innovation with regulation. So my suspicion is the authorities will not push it all the way. They are sending a signal to the other internet companies by using Alibaba. But at the same time, I think, these companies, the big companies, the internet companies in China, have played a big role in the Chinese economy. They will continue to play a big role. And I don't think the authorities want to take it all the way and, result in them basically becoming non-existent.
Yeah, talking about innovation, one of the assets that have been making a lot of momentum and traction this year has been Bitcoin. For the year, it's up 270%. I'm just wondering, with the new Biden administration in play next year, do you think there's going to be some impact there? Because U.S. Treasury Secretary, the incoming Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, has said she's not a fan. So could we be in for, a regulatory surprise there as well?
I wouldn't be surprised, Ryan. You look at the history of Bitcoin, it's got a history of wild rallies and then crashes. So if you cast your mind back to 4 years, right? 2017, Bitcoin prices rallied 1,800%. But that was from a very low base. And then it subsequently declined by 80% over the next 1 year in 2018. Rallied again by 303%. And then pulled back sharply by 60% before rallying by 450% from March this year. So it's been a history of wild swings. You know, so not sure whether you can call Bitcoin an investment. Appears to me like more like speculation. Supply is very, very limited, but there's this demand, fear of missing out demand, that is resulting in a lot of individuals actually jumping in, leveraging, buying. So you've got to be careful because Bitcoin is now at a record high, and given the history of wild swings I just described, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a sharp pullback that could happen down the road.
Yeah, we're chatting with Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, talking about FOMO or fear of missing out. We had a very interesting 2020. You had a lot of retail investors pouring in into some of the hotter stocks. Looking back at the year, what were some of the investment lessons that you could take away that will be good to keep in mind for 2021?
Well, you know, I think one of the key investment lessons in 2020, in my view, is that, you know, crisis can create some very interesting and attractive investment opportunities, Ryan. So if you look at how the markets performed in 2020, in the first quarter of, 2020, MSCI World Index plunged by, you know, almost 30% from the high. And then it rallied by 65% from the bottom in March. So, you know, it looked like a very gloomy year in 2020 with the COVID-19 virus, the pandemic and all that. But at the same time, the Federal Reserve injected a huge amount of liquidity. Central banks came in a big, big way. And I think investors underestimated the power of money. And what we saw was a huge rally. And so in 2021, sharp pullbacks could actually present some interesting buying opportunities as well.
And if you look towards 2021 in terms of asset allocation, how will you be dividing your money between the US, China, and the rest of the world?
Well, you know, our focus, we are a bit more positive on Asia compared to other regions of the world. We think that, you know, Asian markets could benefit from the fact that Biden is not going to be quite hard-nosed on China. And, you know, the Chinese economy is doing very well. In fact, it's one of the few major economies to be posting strong growth. You see 8% growth for China this year, well above what you are getting out of the US, Europe and Japan. And Asia is a beneficiary of that. Plus, of course, a weaker US dollar, that's going to benefit Asian currencies, Asian stock markets. So we would, we overweight on Asia, but that doesn't mean that we ignore other regions. We think that equity markets in general will do quite well in 2021, but not as strongly as 2020, but still. There's money to be made in 2021.
Yeah, so a couple of trends to look out for: a weakening US dollar and, of course, the new administration under Joe Biden. That could be beneficial for Asian markets. We've been chatting with Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you for your time again. And as always, I'll stay safe. We'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, Ryan, and Happy New Year to everyone.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.